Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you. I know this is a little unusual for all of us as we're adapting to the changes that are going through our lives right now in an unprecedented time. So certainly we'll make the best of it that we possibly can. So this morning as we come together, we're starting a new quarter. And with this new quarter, we've got a new topic. Our topic is going to be glorifying God through our lives. And how do we do that? Will be things that we'll be looking at in our introduction and overall today. And then following that, we'll have opportunities to look at more specific topics regarding this subject. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So certainly God owns our body and he owns our spirit. So therefore we should glorify him with all that he has done for us. Our class schedule will be, we'll look at an introduction today, the overall. Then we'll look at online presence, social media, speech, persecution and suffering, dress, worship, employment and citizenship, entertainment, recreation, leisure time, personal studies and prayer life, earthly possessions, giving and good deeds, home life, and marriage, retirement, illness, and death. And then we'll have an overall summary. So as we look at each of these topics, we're talking about glorifying God through each of these. So how do we glorify God, let's say, through our speech or through our dress or through our worship? And so that's what we want to look at in each of these classes. Each topic will be two sessions long. And so we'll be starting this next Wednesday on online presence and social media. And we'll go from Wednesday to Sunday. That's our plan as of now. James McClinney and I will be sharing teaching roles during this quarter, and we are excited to be able to do this. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and caring for us and for providing for us in ways that we can't even imagine. Dear God, we stand in awe of you, your majesty, and your goodness and your kindness. Of your love for us, your mercy, and not punishing us as we deserve, and your grace and blessing us beyond our deserving. We're so thankful for the great gift of your Son, and we pray that we will live, that we will be more and more like him. We pray that our lives will glorify you, that we will exhibit the characteristics in our life that you would have us to be. We pray that we can live so we can inherit that home with you in heaven. Dear God, help us as we study this topic and help us to live it in our lives and share it with those round about us. We ask that you be with all that are participating today, and we pray for those who are unable to for whatever reason. We pray that much good can be accomplished. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at our topics, we've already seen this. So let's keep this in mind as we go through our introduction today. Let's talk about glorifying God. If you were to define glorifying God, how would you define that? And I think a lot of people would say it's just to sing or to give praise to God. But it is that, and we don't want to take away from that. But at the same time, Vines describes it as to magnify praise, especially of glorifying God, describing honor to him, acknowledging him as his being, his attributes, and his acts. But it also can mean glorifying oneself. And we'll be looking at that as well. And so as we think about glorifying God, it's not just what we say with our mouths. It's what we live in our lives. It's the not just talking the talk, but it's walking the talk. We sing several songs, and here's three songs that talk about glorifying God. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with these songs. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. So as we sing this song, if we're all we're doing is just saying it with our mouths and we're not doing it with our hearts and we don't exhibit it in our daily lives, how in the world can we truly glorify God? It's another song, we will glorify the King of Kings. And so basically, once again, it's a great song, has wonderful words, but if all we're doing is just saying it with our mouths and we're not really doing it in our lives, it's not true glorification. And one other song is, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my song, Lord, be glorified. In your church, in our home. So this song brings a little bit more to where we're going. And that's that in our daily lives, regardless whether it's in the church, in our home, in our song, in our life, God needs to be glorified. It's not just saying it with our mouths, but it's actually walking the talk. So let's look at some passages regarding glorifying God. Psalms 50, verses 22 through 23. Now consider this. You who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So we can see offering praise is good, but we need to have our conduct in a good standing with God. In Psalms 86 and verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. So it's important to remember that it's not something of a short basis. It's something that needs to be consistent. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the light that we're reflecting is actually God's. We're reflecting the goodness that he has told us about that we need to be partaking in. And so as we reflect this light, we're actually glorifying our Father in heaven. And they can glorify God in heaven by seeing our example. Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 6 and also verse 9, it says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. So we can see glorifying God is we have great examples of that. And we have great commands that we need to glorify. Revelation, the 15th chapter, verse 4. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. As we think about this, who else is there but God? And how can we not fear him? We have to fear him, and we should stand in awe of him and glorify his name. For you alone are holy, is what the scripture says. And that's important for us to remember as we go forward in this lesson. Well, as we looked at the first definition, we talked about glorifying ourselves and that is a possibility. Not that that's something that we should do, but the word is used that way according to Vines in the New Testament. So let's look at John, the 8th chapter, verse 54. We can see here that Jesus did not glorify himself. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. The New American Standard Version says, if I glorify myself, my Father is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. So we can see that even our Lord did not glorify himself. He gave the honor to God. I think it's interesting that the shepherds at the time that they came to see Christ as a babe in the manger. In Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 16, it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then in verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They didn't glorify Jesus. They glorified God. And as we can see, those that were healed and those who witnessed healings in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 8. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. And as we look at the 15th chapter, so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking and the maimed made whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. In Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 25 and 26, immediately he rose up before them took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." And one additional passage in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 42 and 43. Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Who did they give praise to? I think it's important for us to realize they gave praise to God. They didn't give praise to the healers. They didn't give praise to the one who had been healed. They praised God and they gave glory to God. Let's look at a passage in Romans, the first chapter, Romans 1, verses 20 through 23. The ungodly and the unrighteous in Rome. In verse 20, the first chapter, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." So we can see here that in Rome, they refused to glorify God. They knew God, but they still didn't glorify him. And knowing God was not enough. The glorification was needed. So what they had done is they had taken the glory that should go to God, and they were placing it on themselves. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, we can see that Babylon was a city that had rose, and they thought much of itself. And so as we look at this, let's actually begin in verse 4 down the bottom of the slide. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. Yes, you. Lest you receive her plagues.'" And verse 5, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. And the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure she measured, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit at the queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her.'" And so we can see here in verse 7, she glorified herself, and she lived luxuriously. She didn't glorify God, and she disobeyed. So Babylon was considered not so great in God's eyes for all that the deeds that they had committed. We can read about the prideful king in Daniel, the 11th chapter, verses 36 through 39. It says in verse 36, Daniel 11, "Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemings against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones, and pleasant things." In verse 39, "And thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with the foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, and he shall come to this end, and no one will help him." So we can see here that once again, as we go back and look at this, he chose not to give God the glory. He chose to give himself the glory. And that's the problem that we have in our lives today. Sometimes we put ourselves above God, and then we want to do things that we want to do and not what God wants to do. And that's not giving God the glory. In Luke, the 12th chapter, we read about the rich fool, beginning in verse We're going to only look at a few of the passages here, so let's look at verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those be things be which you have provided?' So he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God." It's interesting, if you go through this reading and the entire chapter, you can see how many pronouns are used referring to the individual himself. The word "I" is used several times just in this one passage that we've just read. And so he wasn't giving God the glory. He wasn't giving God any credit at all in what he had accomplished or what had been accomplished in his life. And that's important for us to remember today. King Herod in verse, let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning of verse 18. "Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country." In verse 21, "So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an ordination to them. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of man.' Then immediately an angel struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." We can see that there was great good that was accomplished here, but not for King Herod. King Herod refused to give God the glory, and because of that, he was eaten by worms. So as we look at glorifying ourselves, we can see five examples of cases in the scriptures that wasn't successful for the individuals involved. Those in Rome: Babylon the Great, the prideful king, the rich fool, and King Herod. Well, I think it's important for us as we look at our lives to determine if we're glorifying God ourselves, and how do we know that we're glorifying God? Our lives will mirror God's will, and I think that's important for us to remember, that as we're living, our lives have to be consistent with God's will. In Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever we do, it needs to be according to God's will, and we need to give thanks to God for it. In 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Is our conduct consistent with God's will? Is it holy? Are we trying to be holy as God is holy? And in the same book, the 4th chapter, verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So it's important for us to remember that if we speak, it needs to be according to God's will. If we minister, it needs to be with the ability that God's provided us, and that we need to glorify forever and ever. As we look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16, and on down through 26, we're not going to read this entire text. But as we look at this, there are several things that we need to put off in our life. We need to fulfill the lust of the flesh that shouldn't be involved with our lives any longer. We need to put off the works of the flesh. need to put off adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, and those that are conceited, those that are provoking one another and envying one another, those are things that we should not have involved in our lives. Instead, what we ought to be doing is we ought to be put on the things that are mentioned in these passages. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to have fruit of the Spirit. We need to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, crucified with the flesh, its passions and desires. Those things on the left should no longer be of our lives. They should be crucified, and we need to live in the Spirit. I think this is such an important passage. And as we also look at Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 21, I'll put some points up from these passages. Galatians 5 and Ephesians 5 tell us how we need to be walking. They tell us, these passages tell us what we need to put on and what we need to put off. There's some important points, I think, from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We need to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, just as Christ has loved us. There should be an fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, of course, jesting. And I think sometimes we know that some things are wrong, but yet they still creep into our lives. And this passage tells us that it shouldn't even be named among us. We don't need to be partakers with them. So there may be others that are doing these things, but we don't need to be partaking with them. And we once were in darkness, but we're now in light. And we need to walk as children of light, not as children of darkness. We need to find out what's acceptable to God. And we need to do those things that are pleasing to Him. We shouldn't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we ought to be willing to expose them. We ought to be willing to teach others the right way. We need to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. And we need to be redeeming the time that we have. We need to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. That goes back to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. We need to find out what His will is and understand it. We need to give thanks always for the things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to submit to one another in the fear of God. There are so many other points that can be made from this passage. But as we think of all these things and we live these in our lives, we certainly will be giving God the glory. It's not just saying it, it's actually doing it. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 2 and 3, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we might have been that way, but we should no longer be that way. Our lives should be new. Our lives should be different. We ought to be living our lives to glorify God. In Romans, the first chapter, verses 29 through 32, this is a great passage regarding glorifying God. We know that there were several sins that were being conducted here. In verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So it's not that if we just do these things that we're wrong. In verse 32, it tells us that if we go along with it, if we're condoning it, if we're not standing up against it, we're basically approving of it. And we need to be careful that in our lives that we're taking a stand for God's truth. Remember back in Romans, the first chapter, verses 20 through 23. We read this passage earlier, but I think it's so important. In this same chapter, verse 20 says, for since the creation of His world, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power Godhead so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So they took what God had provided and they made their own gods. Basically, it's whatever they wanted to do became their God. And they replaced our Heavenly Father with those things that they chose to do against his will. It's so important that we learn from this and see the great mistakes that they made and that we don't do likewise. Are we glorifying God? Well, our lives will mirror God's will. And we've seen those verses. And also our standards of morality need to be completely different from the world. And we need to take a stand to do that which is right. Well, the verses that we started with at the very beginning, 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why do we need to glorify God? Because we are God's. God created us. God gave us life. Our body and our spirit belongs to him. And we need to use them to his glory. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Our glory will come from God. It won't come from ourselves. And it's so important that as we live our lives, that we allow God to glorify us in his due time, not in the time that we prefer. I hope this has been a good overview of what we're going to be looking at in this coming quarter. Our next class will be glorifying God through my online presence and social media. So be thinking about that. James McClenney will be teaching this class on Wednesday night and also on Sunday. So this will be a two-part lesson, as most of our classes coming up will be. So glorifying God through my online presence and social media. Be thinking about your life and how you can glorify God through these avenues. What you can do, what you need to stop doing, how we need to be different from the world are all important things. I hope this has been a good class for you, and I enjoyed it and hope that you got much from it. Look forward to our next time together.